Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, welcome to The Big Payoff with me, Rachel Bello, and my best friend and business partner,
me, Suzanne Muchen. This is a show for working humans
to remind you that you are still a human, even at work.
Okay, Rach, you did it once again and dragged me over to yet another Netflix show, this time, thankfully, only 90 minutes. And it was time very well spent on Bo Burnham's new comedy special, Inside, which was so brilliant and dark, funny, but dark.
Yeah, you're welcome. It was dark, actually, but so brilliant. Definitely run and see it, Inside. But I've been meaning to bring it up because it's so relevant to what we are talking about today and what you and I talk about a lot, which is these fraught moments where, whether you're a company or you're running a business or you're the head of a team, or you just have something that you need to actually comment on because it's either in the public domain or, you know, somebody quit and you need to say something. And there are so many choices that you need to make. And it's so complicated on how do you get the tone right, the timing right. And I just think that Bo Burnham really, you know, captured something here very important.
So are we listening to the bit where it felt a little too close to home to what you and I do for a living, but where he really is digging into what companies have been doing lately when they feel like they need to weigh in on a social justice issue.
Right. It's like a brand positioning.
Yeah. Okay. Let's listen.
Hello. My name is Bo Burnham and I am a former comedian turned social brand consultant. It's a very exciting time to be a brand. It's also a bit of a scary time because customers expect a lot more from their brands than they did in the past. During this incredibly necessary and overdue social reckoning that we're having in our culture, it is no longer acceptable for brands to stay out of the conversation. Consumers want to know, are you willing to use your brand awareness to affect positive social change, which will create more brand awareness? The question I ask the brands I work with is, are you gonna be on the right side of history? The question isn't what are you selling or what service are you providing? The question is, what do you stand for? Who are you, Bagel Bites? All these big companies, they're so scared of all this social change, and I come in and I put their fears to rest. You know, I tell them, just be honest. Tell your customers that J.P. Morgan is against racism, in theory.
You know, Rachel, I think there are, I mean, first of all, like that did make me laugh so hard, but also cringed so much about past and current work that we do. As did, by the way, my favorite, which I texted to Lily, was the white woman's Instagram. Is this heaven?
Yeah.
Or is it a white woman's Instagram? But, you know, look, I think that we are now inundated with these moments, both big and small, where something occurs and we're supposed to somehow all become like, you know, immediate experts in PR and like, you know, crisis communication, like Olivia Pope. It's like, we're all supposed to all of a sudden have these PhD level communication skills to be able to navigate everything from commenting on big stuff like Black Lives Matters and social justice issues to this month being, you know, Pride Month, to the things.
Right. And like, so we just recently, remember when last spring we, you know, there was the blackout on Instagram and everybody
Yeah.
And then there was a, wave of shaming about that.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So you were like, I didn't do it or I did it. But anyway, like now, of course, the Juneteenth stuff is up and everybody's being challenged to comment on that, including us.
Yes. That. So I, you know, I can say that we did not handle it as well as I know we could have last year because we were reacting in real time to something.
Well, we were white. Last year, we were white.
Last year, we were cis white.
Yeah.
We were. And we did no real history of this type of public response to it, and we were at a new company.
Yeah.
I'm not ashamed of anything we did. I just know we could have done it better. So here's what I remember from last year, feeling, you know, those little moments of like, I wish I could rewind the tape. First of all, we spoke out too soon. So we drafted, and I remember us trying to be thoughtful about it, but we drafted something to all of our members too quickly.
Yeah.
That was too vague. I mean, I remember we even mentioned the book White Fragility, like, which later became like a meme.
Yeah.
Right. But thinking back, it was like, oh, here are some recommendations of books, right? I mean, cringeworthy stuff now that you think back on it. And the other thing we didn't do, we didn't talk with them. We didn't talk to our stakeholders and staff members in a really authentic back and forth way. Our minds were really on what do we communicate out?
Well, also it was awkward because it was as if we were discovering Juneteenth.
Yes.
But it was the first time that we had ever in any of our companies acknowledged its existence. And we didn't say that.
No.
We didn't say it's amazing that we have never acknowledged Juneteenth.
Right. So that was hard last year, just walking those fine lines between not trying to sound like, oh, we discovered all this for the first time, and yet trying to be in a really authentic mode of like, we are trying to be better. We are trying to dig. So I think we did better this year.
Well, I mean, you know, we did better than, did you see the JT Firstman on Instagram, his thing of corporate speak of like
my corporation. Favorite.
Yeah. It is my absolute favorite of his impressions.
Yes.
You have to go to Instagram and then search for JT Firstman, Firstman. And he does impressions of various things. And other than the impression of a mosquito, which is the best, this impression of a corporation speak is absolutely what we weren't this bad, but boy,
this is bad.
This is
what not to do.
Go off, cis queen, it, bitch queen. Yes, slay the entire game, mama. Dance to Gaga, queen, it, cis slut, bitch. We are a company and we talk like this now because that is what we have seen other people do on the internet, queen, bitch, we're a company, we're Target. Where we sell things, bitch, and we support whatever is happening on the internet, stupid slut, bitch, cis, queen.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So this year rolls around, and I'm proud of the fact that we gave our employees the day off.
It wasn't the day of Juneteenth, which right. was Saturday. It was the Friday before.
Where we observed
it. Appreciated that.
Yeah. I'm proud of the fact that we've been consistently better. It's not like all year we've said nothing about anything and all of a sudden it's Juneteenth. But I did want to say something more meaningful to our employees and, hey, mm-hmm. take a day off, right? So I went through a process of drafting an email. And it's hard, Rachel, because you don't want to lecture people. Again, like, I'm white and our team is diverse and plenty of people there know plenty about Juneteenth. And I asked somebody to do a draft for me. And what came back felt dry and very informative. And I found that the only thing I could do in that moment was what I really learned from last year, which was, no, close your eyes and sit with the feeling
right.
of how you feel about this moment and day, and try to speak from some place of truth of what this day could be, should be, what Bonfire thinks of it. And the only thing I know is that to a diverse group of people in our company, it felt real, which is the only win I can claim.
Right. And the thing is, not the entire note, the entire communication doesn't have to be centered on your authentic feeling, but something in there has to be. Something in there has to be. And so let's really bring this down from those big moments where you're running something and you're expected to speak on it, which will happen. Mm-hmm. But it also happens all the time in these other like day-to-day moments. Smaller moments when in your personal life and in the office where you're expected to speak out on certain things.
Inform people, Rach. I mean, how many times are we or other people inside a project meeting and you have news, maybe the client has, you know, dumped you, or maybe a project team member is no longer with the company, whatever it is, someone needs to convey something difficult.
Right.
There's like so much mental gymnastics there. And I think our listeners are going to need some guidance because I think we can help them.
I do too. We have examples and we have a case study.
Yeah.
So when we come back, let's do that.
So recently we got a phenomenal case study from Lily, your daughter, who's our producer, who also runs a preschool on the side. And so she gave us this great example that I think embodies so much of everything we're talking about, a difficult conversation with a group of stakeholders. It begs all the questions. When do you share information? How much information do you share? In what medium do you share it? So let's use that as sort of like a case study and we'll problem solve with it.
So you know what? Instead of our telling you about this case, why don't we have Lily tell you what actually happened?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so this year at my preschool, we've been struggling with our landlords because the co-op complex the school is located in has been undertaking a massive construction project. And we've been fighting with them since day one about creating access for our families, building a stroller ramp, protecting the kids from dust and noise, et cetera. So recently, to comply with a New York law, local law 11 facade inspection, which is like a massive thing they have to do every 5 years, they had to build scaffolding actually in our space over our entire outdoor area. So we fought with them to put up extra protective shedding and everything to keep the space safe. But we've had parents complain to us that there wasn't enough warning about the work and not enough communication from us about it. So our thinking was at the time, it would have been alarmist to email the entire community every step of the way to say, heads up, the co-op says there's going to be work done in February. Oh, wait, it'll be next year. Oh, wait, it's day after tomorrow, which is in fact what happened because they kept changing their mind and didn't decide the day until 2 days before. So this was a leadership decision to not unnecessarily stress out our families, but was it the right way to do it? I genuinely have no idea.
Okay. Well, since the parents were, you know, hugely pissed and it's become like the scandal of the school for the spring and early summer, I would venture to say there was probably another way. So maybe we can find that other way.
So here's a formula that I think is pretty foolproof, Rachel, in terms of just a set of considerations, because the details are going to change depending on the scenario. But given what Lily said, and given that this can be applied both to Lily's case and pretty much to the Juneteenth communication, to somebody on a project, you know, moving off and needing to inform people. So here's the rundown. So the first thing is, who needs to hear about this actually? So something's occurred. Who really needs to hear about this? And be very specific.
Right. And don't assume that everybody does, but also don't assume that you can tell some community and it won't spread.
Okay. Right.
So the other question I would ask is, why do they need to hear about this? So once you understand the target of your communication, what is it that they're going to be worried about? Why do they need to know? Is it a safety issue? Is it a cost issue? Is it about their jobs? What is the question that they're going to be asking that you need to answer to that particular community?
And I would only add there that if you don't answer those questions, it will be worse. Right, left to their own devices, not answering those questions will spiral into something worse for you. The third thing is, what's their anxiety? How can you actually pull out of them or pre-assume or pre-assess what their anxieties? Because everybody's response to crises or change is an anxiety of some kind. So can you speak to that?
And not just speak to it, but share it, because people don't want to feel unnecessarily anxious when you're not, right? So you can basically say, I share the same anxiety, but at the very least say, I totally understand this anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
I would feel the same as you do. And then finally, who needs to be communicating this, right? If it's a low-level staff person, is it the head of the team? Sometimes having the CEO or the head of something isn't the right person.
Right. It amplifies. We've made those decisions all the time where it's like, well, if I say it, it comes across one way, but if the team leader says it, it comes across completely differently. And you don't want it to be perceived as being this massive communique, we say in the comms business.
So now, you know, now let's do a role play. Now let's see if we can go back to Lily's situation and let's role play those rules, but in a not formulaic way, you know, we'll just see what we can do with it more or less. Okay.
So who are you going to be?
I'm going to be Lily.
And I'm going to be then, I'm going to be a parent whose child goes to the school. Obviously, if I'm a parent, I guess that makes sense that the only reason I would give a shit is if my kid went to that school, right?
Exactly. So I just want to say, though, Suzanne, that in this role play, I mean, making a different choice than what Lily made, right? I'm gonna tell them right away as soon as I learn that this is happening.
Got it.
So let's start with, I would have done this like the very first time they heard that there was going to be scaffolding. I want all parents to know that we have just been notified by the city of New York that this is happening. There is no word on timing. We will not get plenty of, we won't get notice before, we won't get a lot of notice, but we want to just tell everybody that we are going to do everything in our power to protect the children and ensure the health of the play area. And we will let you know as soon as we know something. So that would be my first step.
Okay. And now the minute you say that.
Hello.
Lily Bello, please.
She's no longer available. She okay. She's hello. Yes, speaking.
Lily, this is Margaret, and obviously you know me because I just called and you have my caller ID on your phone. And my daughter Samantha is in your class. I just received your communication. Unacceptable.
Oh, what is it that's unacceptable about it? I know this is very upsetting. Believe me, you know, I have a son here, as you know, in the school. And the minute I heard that, all the alarms went off in me about the health and the safety and all that. Are you having the same feeling that I'm having about my child?
Oh, I'm annoyed because you work at the school. I work outside the school. So this is going to inconvenience the shit out of me. And what I want to know is, how do I have to work around this? Maybe it'll take more time with drop off. Maybe I have to like wear something different to the school. Is it going to be messy? I mean, this takes planning, Lily. I'm a professional. I work in org. So can you please give me more information than we'll let you know when we know?
So what I think we can do, that you raised some really good points. What I think we can do is run some scenarios, and what we will do is send out various scenarios. What I cannot do is promise you that one of those scenarios will in fact materialize, because as you know, the time, we don't have control over some of this. So what you're looking for is control, and I can give you more control than what we've given so far, but I can't give you full control because we don't have full control.
So let me play a scenario for you, Lily, which is the day before this all happens, you communicate and are like, scaffolding alert, tomorrow morning there'll be scaffolding. Is that what I'm hearing?
It could be. My very sincere hope is that they give us more notice, but it could be. And I can't deny that it could be very short notice.
And I want to be clear that I'm not going to hear it from Samantha coming home to me saying, "Mommy, we heard at school tomorrow the play area is going to be under construction."
I can guarantee you that you will hear before your children hear.
Okay. Okay. I mean,
thank you, Margaret. Thanks. And goodbye. Click.
So let's just take one scenario and run it through this formula. And let's just say that the scenario is the one we've spoken about, which you have a pretty important switch of personnel on a project team you're working on.
Yeah.
And you have to convey that to the team who's been working really closely together. So, okay. So the first thing you ask is, who needs to hear about this? And I'm going to suggest everyone working closely with that person. I mean, everyone.
Well, everyone, include both internally and externally. So sometimes there are funders or partners or people working with this person. They need to know immediately.
But I would go internal group first, then external.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. Then why do they need to hear about this? And so to your point, the internal people need to hear about it because all their questions are going to need to get answered, which is going to be like, what are their anxieties?
What does this mean for me?
What does this mean for them? How do we ensure their workflow isn't overloaded? How do we ensure that when they face the outside world, they feel like, I've got this, the company's got this, we don't feel stressed, so that anyone external to the company isn't going to feel stressed by the decision.
Right.
Right.
And yep. And so just to dig a slightly deeper in that, when you communicate to them, both internally to the internal people and the external people, you need to name the anxiety. Don't make them name it. You name it and say, I know this must, you must be wondering, or we've we've expected that this would be an issue. Is there anything else you're anxious about? Let that anxiety be aired and then make sure that they know that it is not a silly anxiety, right? Right.
Yep. And then finally, you know, who needs to be the communicator? Typically, it'll depend on how senior the person is who's leaving, mm-hmm. but it should be the person just senior to that person, unless it's some, like, you know, massive fallout in the company. I also would say here, everybody needs the same story, and it needs to be so simple, right? Nothing complicated. Everyone needs to be able to repeat the same story. So-and-so will be leaving on this date for this reason. Our solution is that this person is going to be taking up this work starting here. So, right. Like, it's got to
okay,
be.
Okay. So but I have a question. So, like, mm-hmm. what about the fact that there's always a small, small group of people who are, like, connected at the hip? Like,
yeah. Yep.
Right. And they would be so offended to hear with everybody else, even if it is, you know, early. Right. I would want to hear from the person, him or herself or themselves, about what the situation is, right?
Yeah, except for you cannot let that happen without the supervisor being there. Like, you can't just say, like, let's say you're leaving a team, Rach, and I'm your boss.
Yeah.
And you're really close with, you know, Lily and Molly. I can't say to you, yeah, Rach, why don't you go talk to Lily and Molly on your own? And then we'll all communicate. Like, you can't.
And you don't think that Lily and Molly will be upset that I'm telling them in a non-personal way?
You can tell them, but with me there.
Okay. But you're not my boss and you never will be. So let's just use a different example. Okay. So that's good. I think that really worked with the formula. I mean, I think you said something quite unusually smart. It was
brilliant,
quite rare. You said, the main thing that everybody wants to know is we got this, but not in a way that shuts down their concerns. It's like after you've allowed them to air, after you, it is the message is we got this. Everything's under control. We got this. Mm-hmm. Because if they get a whiff that you are not in control, that's when they go for the jugular.
In other words, you should know by the end of the show now, say it with me. You are Mayday.
You are Mayday. Suzanne, let's check it out.
Yeah, let's check it out.
Let's check it out.
We should check it out.
Okay, Rach. So my check it out this week is something that's coming back into style. And don't tell me it's not, because I'm sitting here in my closet. So did you know that Tevas are back? Like, seriously back?
Yeah, they may be, but not for me.
No, they are. Sit tight. They're everywhere. And I just bought myself a pair. So don't. I can see your face. I can see them. They really are everywhere. These have a nice little wedge, which works well for me. Okay. They have the cutest. This is, like, you know, one just black one. But I'm telling you, if you just, like, go anywhere, yes, they are.
I have seen them. They're ugly as fuck. I don't care.
No, Rachel, they are super comfy. This is a new cushion at the bottom. It's squishy, comfy, cozy. I could walk 15 miles in these.
You will never see me in that shoe. That is ugly as shit. But okay, I agree. Other people, if you don't care, you don't care.
Everyone has complimented me on them. Be like, oh my God, Tevas are back. That's so cool. You're wearing
that because they have to. Yeah, they kind of have to say that. But okay. I am going to tell you about a book that I very rarely have this experience where I'm halfway through the book and I already know that as soon as I'm done with it, I'm going to turn right back around and read it again.
What?
It is so brilliant and heart-stoppingly familiar. It is Katie Royfe, who I've known for years, since she was a little girl, and she is a well-known feminist academic. She's a professor at NYU. She writes, you know, feminist theory. She's written feminist theory in English literature. She wrote a novel about a presumed love affair between Alice in Wonderland and Carol, the writer, but and other stuff. And I've, you know, she's super smart, but I've never been particularly interested in Katie Royfe's stuff. It's very, I don't know, academic. She's just published a book called The Power Notebooks. And these are her personal writings in her notebooks over the years. And Suzanne, and what she's examining is the discrepancy and the gap between women's proclaimed and intellectual postures about power and we demand and we want and the
and
way
then we, I said and then and he said and then I said
and then the gap between that and the way they behave in intimate relationships and the power you give away in moments of salary negotiation, like those personal intimate moments where she's just like, yeah, what?
What, that is so, oh my God,
there
are
stories here about her in relationship, and I'm not going to give away, that you just go, oh my God, I've been there. Oh my God. And it's so vulnerable and so, and she's dissing herself and what she wrote in her 20s. And she said, I wasn't lying in my 20s, but I was writing what I wished had been true.
Oh my God. That sounds so, yeah, I read only one thing about it. And you know what I remember reading in that article? Is that she wrote it while wearing Tevas.
You know, I think she's so way too cool to wear Tevas.
No, I read that. I did read that. The whole time she had her feet on the floor planted.
And by the way, I always thought it was Tevas. Is it not Tevas? Is it Tevas? I think it's Tevas.
I think it's Tevas. I pronounce it Teva.
While you wear them. Okay, that's a good look. Yeah.
Teva. Okay. We will be back to the big payoff very, very soon. Here, listen to the strap. That's how soon we'll be back.
Yeah, ugly as shit. Hey, thank you for listening to The Big Payoff. And please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to The Big Payoff wherever you listen to podcasts. And please send us your questions, send us your comments, compliments, adoration. We love to hear from you. So you can reach us at info@bigpayoffradio.com. We are produced by Lily Bellow. And were mixed, edited, and scored by Ryan Derringer at Welterweight Sound. See you next time.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.